Welcome to the Where Humanity Meets Technology podcast, where we talk to business leaders about cybersecurity, data management, and advanced digital solutions to provide strategies to increase the profitability of your company. Now, here's your host, Maurice Hamilton, the CEO of Infinivate Consulting Services.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the podcast where we call Where Humanity Meets Technology. I'm your host, Maurice Hamilton, and we have another interesting episode here today. And I'm very happy to actually have a special guest with us. And we're going to have a really good conversation about AI a little bit here. And I think you guys will be intrigued with it. So this is the podcast where we like to interview CEOs, CIOs, CSOs, chief operations officers, and people who are actually driving technology for the betterment of humanity. And that's why I'm really happy to introduce to everybody to you, Ksenia Pawke. And she actually has some really good experience and really good background. She has a master's degree from Moscow State University in geophysics and geodesy. And she also has a doctorate and master's degree in I want to say geophysics and also space as well. I want to make sure I got that right for geophysics and seismology. So Ksenia, we want to thank you and welcome you to the podcast. Ksenia, I want to make sure I'm saying it right, Ksenia.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Good. So I'll start off and ask you a question. It's what I call the Genesis type question. And to go back and talk a little bit, how did you actually and what directed you to go from having that the degree in space and geodesy and actually to get to AI? Can you give us a little background on that?
So I started with my undergraduate being in space geodesy engineering, where I focused on studying GPS and other satellite navigation systems, which kind of somewhat naturally led me to my graduate studies at Stanford, where I studied GPS signal for crustal displacement for learning more about earthquakes. Mm-hmm. That was very interesting. But after years in getting my PhD, I realized that maybe I am not the right person to pursue the academic career, and academic career was not right for me. I'm very much of an instant gratification type of person. In academia, you have to put a lot of work and then wait a long time to see your work impact anything, and then other people build on your work, and then you build on other people's work to actually see any change, whether it's a policy change in seismic codes or understanding of some physical processes of the earth. It's very slow, and I think I was impatient. And in my final year, I had an internship at a startup doing data science, where I was using all the same methods. It was not that foreign. I was working with data, time series, doing same type of machine learning modeling. But it was applicable to real world. Now I would create something, it would be put in production within weeks, and I would see immediate results and impacts on the business. And that drove me to really understand about myself that this is what I thrive in, seeing the impact of your work right there in front of your eyes. And I never looked back. I finished my degree, and since then had a career in machine learning and AI at various startups.
Wow, that's pretty interesting. And I saw your extensive career being a data scientist, and I like how you actually correlated that all together. Because you think about it, as a data scientist, you're doing statistical analysis, you're looking at models, you're looking at machine learning. I mean, you're building out predictive models and everything that what you're doing there. So you're developing an algorithm. So it's pretty similar. Sounds like it's pretty similar work. Wow, that's pretty interesting. So when you look at the at airspace, I saw some really cool things that you guys are working on at airspace. Can you tell us about how you're actually taking that life as a data scientist and actually embedding that into airspace, and how you guys are doing some things and some changes at that organization, airspace, to make a difference? Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, for sure. So airspace is a logistics company. We ship time-critical packages whether it's an organ for transplant or a very critical part of an aircraft or something for an automobile that's being produced, a variety of things, medical devices, as well as important pieces of electronics, but everything that needs to move fast, whether there's a human life depending on that or large production facility that cannot just be stalled and not operate, or an airplane just grounded because there's something missing. So we are moving things really fast, but logistics still to this day is a very old and somewhat archaic industry. People have been moving things for, you know, since the beginning of people. And there are a lot of companies and established methods that do it in old-fashioned analog ways. And it's fine if time is not of essence, but when you enter the time-critical world, it kind of becomes a bottleneck. If you need to place so many phone calls or put so many manual touches in moving things from one point to another, you kind of find yourself not doing things as fast as possible. If someone needs a kidney, it doesn't need to go as fast as humanly possible or faster than that, right? So that's where AI comes in, by automating a lot of these touches and processes. A lot of them include decision-making. So figuring out what's the best way to route, or how much something would cost, or how much to quote. And if a human is making those decisions, even if they're really good, it takes some time. When you train your models to do that, it's instant. And the more historic data you have to train on, the better it gets. And when I started, it was a lot of structured data, so tables with values, and that was great. But now with the new capabilities of AI, we're able to process emails, notes, messages, and it supercharges us. It's even that much more powerful because now we truly can automate things that previously were unthought of being automated and kind of assumed that always would have to be handled by humans.
Wow. Singing, that's pretty cool. So let me ask you two questions with that. And I noticed that you guys have something we call like Next Flight Out, and how you actually have your drivers that they can just log on. Do you use AI to actually help you with the drivers as well to pick?
Absolutely. So there's a lot of decisions that go into that. We have drivers that work for us on our app, kind of like Uber or Lyft, but they work for airspace. The airspace drivers, they're more trained. They, you know, like they have to have certain clearances or whatnot with the TSA or be able to go to hospitals. And when you need a driver there as soon as possible, because you're literally catching the next flight out, we need to quickly identify which driver is the closest and the most likely to be available right now. In this Uber-like environment, a driver might not accept the job, right? If they're already going somewhere else, or maybe that's the end of the day. So we have models that are determining what is the best driver to offer the job to, and how quickly can they get, considering not just the time of them getting, but finishing their jobs and how much time they'll spend on location. You imagine a little office where you're picking up small medical device, could be in and out, a large medical system where you need to show your documents, IDs, find the right floor, would take so much longer. And it could be the difference between catching that next flight out or not, how long they'll spend on location. And you can't really have it rule-based because we have so many different locations that and we're going to new locations. But we can learn from our historical data for what types of places, how long different things take, and from communication from the customers, from the locations, from the airline, we can also pick up on, are there any risks? Will there be any delays? So that's kind of becomes very interesting.
Because I was thinking about what you were saying there. For example, when we have like natural disasters and some events that happen where it's really, we have to get critical equipment or whatever the case will be to the sites really quick. So when it comes to natural disasters, are you guys really finding a lot more usage during that particular time when those events happen? Because I can imagine a lot of companies will call you up.
I think what happens during big weather events is that a lot of other forwarders or logistics companies might just shut down if the weather is affecting the operations. Our goal is to always stay open and take that overflow of customers when something happens. We definitely have our operations on high alert for anything that happens. Sometimes it could be nothing that you and I would notice, but Atlanta Airport, I don't know where you're located. I think you're in Texas, but Houston. Like if Atlanta yes. Airport is Delta scanning equipment is down, like the software is down, that affects a lot of things that go through Atlanta with delays and everything else. And maybe it's just for the cargo. Maybe even if you fly as a human passenger through Atlanta, you wouldn't know. But cargo might be severely affected, and we have to know every that little detail about every airport and everything else. So automating that helps us to, if it's detected for one order, we can propagate it and know that anyone who is even remotely, maybe you're not even going through Atlanta, but all we know that the plane you're going to be putting your cargo in Phoenix is coming from Atlanta, and it's not even known that it's delayed yet. But now we know that Atlanta's having issues on, let's say, Delta or some other airline. So that Delta airplane coming to Phoenix that you are about to have your cargo go on might actually be delayed. And we know that just from being aware of all the things that are happening in the context of, you know, the world. We are an international company. So airports, airlines, drivers, maybe there's a strike going on somewhere or weather conditions. I can't think of any civil unrest or wars affecting us, luckily, like that magnitude, and hopefully it will never happen, but we definitely have to be on high alert.
Okay. Yeah. I would think about the situation, like, for example, in Haiti, you know, all the things.
Yeah.
Why do you need something like really quick? You know, I could see that.
For sure. And I have to say that airspace, well, they've been wonderful, is then when the conflict in Ukraine unfolded, airspace completely for free, were able to fly an airplane full of aid for people with medical help and just completely covered by airspace just to support the people who might be wounded and in dire need of medical supplies.
Okay. And early on in the conversation, you mentioned about logistics, and sometimes they are a little bit behind the curve. It takes a little bit longer to catch on and, to make sure that they're on top of everything for it. Where do you see, when you think about AI right now, where, if you actually had like a magical crystal ball, right, by your experience and your knowledge and every information there, how do you see the logistics company transforming in the next 5 to 10 years?
Well, that's a very good question. But I think logistics is a very broad and umbrella term that covers, well, a lot of things, right? You can think of tracking, warehousing, and you see already a lot of very smart robots in warehouses, and a lot of them are AI powered. And I think optimizing your routes to make it that you have basically zero waste, you know exactly where you're going to go, where you're going to stop, so that you have the most optimal route that picks up all the needed packages and drops them off in the absolute perfect order that is the fastest and the most efficient. Then everything, you know, logistics, especially once you cross the borders, or even if you just board the airplane, involves a lot of paperwork and documentation. You'd be surprised how much goes into that just to ship things through customs and whatnot. And a lot of the paperwork handling with the current AI developments could get automated. Though the hard thing is that once you look at different countries, everyone has their different rules and different policies. So making that all standardized will be a separate non-AI type of work. But there's enough of AI work to really supercharge logistics and add efficiencies where previously they were not possible. But it also will require, like any AI work, a lot of changing of people's minds. If you're someone who has been in logistics for 20, 30 years and you're excellent and you know exactly what you're doing, you might be very reluctant to see the change because you know better. And sometimes introducing AI is actually taking one step back before you leap 10 steps forward. And for a lot of people, it might just be not what they want to see or hear. So I think that's another thing to consider, that you have to manage people's minds and help them adjust to that change. Ultimately, everyone's job will become better because now you will be doing, as a logistics practitioner, less repetitive, boring work, and you can really do interesting, challenging problem solving. And I think that in its own is very, very exciting. But when you are kind of stuck in your ways and you know you're good, you know that you're better than 90% of other logistics practitioners, it could be a little bit hard to adjust to the new reality.
Yeah, because when you said that, I thought about a customer we worked with a couple of years ago, and they bought us in so we can actually automate the receiving and of packages. So we would actually have everything was a scanner. We could scan it, and a computer would tell them the best location to put that product. So the warehouse driver, they didn't have to guess. They didn't have to think. It saved them so much time. They didn't have to worry about driving. They just said, okay, you need to go to location this, and they took the pallet there. And I was talking to the client earlier in the year, and we're talking about robotics and how we're starting to see robotics with it. And then I was telling him that now we have like companies like Tesla, they have these trucks. And eventually their trucks will be sold. They're going to be running electric. They'll take it from, like, for example, from Houston to Atlanta, and they'll be able to have a package there. They may stop at a hub and actually switch the trailers for another truck or whatever case would be. And it's going to be, you know, that's going to really automate the system. So I can see a lot of, like you mentioned, a lot of changes with that industry over the next few years. So that's pretty amazing to see.
I think overall AI right now is in this kind of a quiet before the storm stage, where a lot of people caught on and trying to implement things, but it's just a bit too early, and amazing applications will be coming out in a year or two. And that would kind of be probably too late to jump on that train. But right now, we're kind of hitting a few walls that are not going to exist soon. But for now, they're preventing us from really implementing the most amazing things that we want, just because they're, you know, like the LLMs, for example, they have their limitations. They have hallucinations, unexpected output. But this is new. People are just figuring it out. So I am expecting another boom, not from the technology that came out, but like from the applications that are being developed now to actually mature and be usable in about a year or two.
Well, can you imagine what AI is going to look like when we have blockchain? You mentioned about the paperwork, how much time people spend on paperwork, how that's going to revolutionize that. So you don't have all that mountain of paperwork and bureaucracy that goes along with that.
Well, we have to probably have hope that the legislators will do their best, because it will be a lot of things definitely will be guardrailed by certain laws, and it could be different from one country to another. There's a big thing to consider around how various governments will handle it. And there's already a lot of guidance and workbooks and whatnot. And a lot of people just not even aware. You start talking to practitioners. The work is already happening, but it's a little bit kind of a patchwork. Yeah. Where it might depend here, even from one state to another state. And then each company chooses their approach. Some people kind of like maybe ignore ethical or privacy concerns and really won't just be scrappy and utilize. And I'm not attaching any judgment there. They just want to utilize the best and the most novel tools and see what they can get. Others being very, very cautious and really covering the tracks so that they're really considering privacy, ethical dilemmas that they might be running into, and just really taking a more cautious approach. And it's happening all simultaneously. So a lot of, I think a lot of our predictions will be very far off from the reality, just because I think we'll be surprised multiple times. And it's hard to fathom right now the things that we might actually run into and experience. But it's kind of exciting to both be a part of it, but also be on a bigger scale, an observer of what is happening and unfolding.
Interesting. Last question then. So what do you think would be the disadvantages for some of those companies that don't get on board?
Well, I think that if someone who's listening to that has a massive fear of missing out and feeling like they are already late, I want to tell you that you probably are not. It's probably just the right time for you. I think that at least I would recommend doing some work at understanding the risks of not using AI. And it's going to be very different. If you own a dance studio, your risk assessment of not using AI would be very different from if you're running a digital marketing company, right? Those are very different situations. So it's different for everyone. Understanding the costs of introducing AI and the risks of not introducing AI, I think, is a must for everyone, including dance studios, just to see where you end up. And it might be hard for someone without AI experience to do it, but I highly recommend seeking someone who you can reach out and talk and hire them for 1, 2, 3 hours of their time to kind of be walked through and see where you're at, what you're missing on, what are your opportunities, and maybe kind of everyone has a different timing. So for some, it will be very critical to miss out right now. For others, completely okay, and then they catch up. And you don't have to rely on just yourself. I have helped some people and plenty of people who are willing to sit down, strategize with you and help. And the answer will be different from everyone. So I can't give you a specific answer for everyone because it really depends on the type of company you're running.
Yep, that makes sense. That's very, very good answer. Very good answer. Thank you for that. So, Ksenia, I want to thank you for joining us on the podcast today. Great job with it.
Thank you.
Thank you. So there you have it, folks. Directly from an expert, Ksenia Palke, and she's the head of AI at Airspace. And we want to thank her for her time and actually going into a little deeper conversation, I should say, into AI. And we really want to thank you for that.
I really appreciate this opportunity, and I enjoyed talking to you, Maurice.
Thank you. All right, folks. Well, thank you for joining our podcast today. And we'll definitely catch you on the next one. If you like the podcast, let us know. Or if you want to reach out to Ksenia, if you want to add something for you, maybe drive some business to your way.
You can find me on LinkedIn. It's my first name, Ksenia, Ksenia Palke, Palke. And I love having little chats. Definitely reach out and we can talk.
Thank you. All right. Thanks, everyone. We'll catch you on the next one.
Thank you. Bye.
Thanks for listening. If you've enjoyed this episode and you'd like to help support the podcast, please share it with others, post about it on social media, or leave a rating and review. To catch all the latest from your host, connect with Maurice on LinkedIn at Maurice Hamilton. Thanks again, and we'll see you next time.